a lot of stuff to get ready. Bear with me just a second here. So to echo Rick this morning, you're never not nervous getting up here. But I have finally kicked the want to run out the back door. So that's at least something. And I was going to say, you know, whenever you're waiting for, you know, when the songs are being led and all that kind of thing, always hoping that Larry leads a couple with five verses and leads all five verses. Give me a little bit more time. And your heart starts beating a little faster whenever you see the word end up there. And I didn't get an end today. So that was a good thing, I guess. And of course, last but not least, whenever someone says Brother French as he did, I still look around for my grandfather. So one of these days that'll sink in. If I can find my clicker here. I just want to read something. Pick this book up. My wife actually picked it up for me. It's called Seeing God in America. A guy has taken trips across the United States and kind of wrote little devotionals on each different place that he's visited and of course put a couple pictures and things in there. And one day, shortly after I got it, I was reading through and came past this one, and it's called Remembering the Sacrifice, and that's not what I'm talking to you about tonight, but I will read it to you. Looking across the rolling wooded acres of Arlington National Cemetery, with hundreds of thousands of white stones in perfectly ordered rows, brings an assortment of emotions that are impossible to escape. Sadness, desolation, pride of country, anger over so many lost young lives. The stones represent tremendous loss, as well as the gift of freedom we are able to enjoy. Arlington National Cemetery is the United States military cemetery located across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., in Arlington County, Virginia. Within its 624 acres, over 400,000 active duty service members, veterans, and their family have been buried. In addition to the military heroes, Arlington is also the final resting place of a select number of presidents, astronauts, senators, and Supreme Court justices. Founded during the dark days of the Civil War, the cemetery now contains the remains of military personnel from every war, from the Revolution to Iraq and Afghanistan. And there's much more that he goes into there. But as you can tell as I read that, that will stir up. And when you look at this picture, that should stir up some type of emotion in you. It brings something up that makes you think about the lost ones. It makes you think about the freedoms that you have. It stirs something up in you. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. About being stirred up for the Lord. This is a lesson I put together for myself, because I felt that I was not stirred up enough. I was talking to my family the other night, and I said, I feel like I preach and I study, I would like to think, fairly often. And every time I pick up that Bible, I see, Blake, it's not enough. There needs to be more. You need to be stirred up more. You need to do more. You need to be more filled with the Word, with Christ, and with the message of God. Many say that we need to be motivated in this life. I need you to motivate me. How often do we hear that? We hear, I need you to motivate me, especially in the new year. I need you to help me do whatever it is that I've decided to do. I'm going to diet, so I need you to help me whenever I pick up whatever it is, a soda or something like that. And I need you to help me, to motivate me, to motivate me to do what I've said I'm going to do. And what's really being asked is that they or we are wanting to feel good about our lives, that we are involved in something worthwhile, that we're doing right. We want a pat on the back. We want somebody to be there for us. We want to be stirred up, but we also want help with that as well. Or that we're wanting someone or something to push us to take action. This is something that we talk about all the time in Christian living, that we have to take action. There's some type of action that needs to take part in our lives each and every day. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter in verse 11, it reads, "As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up and carrying them on its wings." I put this in here just to show you. As the eagle stirs its nest and wakes it up, it's exactly the same thing that we need to do. It's time for us to do something. Whenever you think about being stirred or woken up, the first thing I think about is my dad. When we were in middle school and high school, of course, I'm not afraid to tell you this, I was lazy, which I had ventured to say most of us probably were. But I liked to sleep, and my dad's favorite thing to do would come in and wake me up. I didn't have an alarm clock. We had dad. Dad would come wake us up. And my dad's favorite two things to say, he'd come in and give you the one, "Blake, get up." And then he'd walk out, and he'd come back 10 minutes later, and I was still in bed. And he would either say, "You're burning daylight," or "You're breeding laziness. Get out of bed." And that's just something that kind of is the way that I think we get in our Christian lives sometimes. I just want to sleep. I want to show up on Sunday, and I want to show up on Wednesday, and I just kind of want to fly under the radar. And that's not what we're to do. We're to be stirred up. We should be up before that's even said. Before we're told to be getting up or waking up, we should be up. So should the Word of God wake us up out of the slump in our mind and in our life? This is exactly what we're called to do as Christians. We're supposed to be stirred up by His Word. We're supposed to be stirred up by what He's done for us. You sit there and think about the things that God and Christ Jesus have done for you. How can you not be stirred up? How can you not look to these things and just stand in awe and want to do everything that you can to fulfill everything they've asked you to do, that you're commanded to do in the Word? To be stirred up is to be awakened fully, to be exalted, to be lifted up, to be elevated. This marvelous Word of God, we ought to wake up and we ought to exalt and elevate the Word of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And all of us need to be stirred up. That's not telling you anything you don't know. We'll go around this entire room and go through, and everybody would tell me that. I need to be stirred up a little bit more. I can do a little bit more. I can just do more. Many of our lives show a need. I should have made that bigger. Many of our lives show a need. We need to examine our life. Again, something we need to do as Christians. We need to examine ourselves. And we need to figure out what we need in this life. And if you examine your life for not long, you're going to find that you need to be stirred up just as I do. We need to strive to be stirred up for the Lord, to do His work, to do His will, to talk about Him, to preach that gospel. And was said this morning by Rick, you don't have to be up here in this pulpit teaching and preaching. You don't have to be teaching a Bible class. You can do this in your daily life. I feel like I say that every time that I come up here and preach, but it's so true. We do it by the lives that we live. Many of our lives show a need because we're not very happy about life, or other people aren't happy about life. Their home life, their job that they have, I can't stand that place. The church life that they have, where I live, my house isn't the biggest and the best. You're looking for something to ignite a spark in your life so that a fire will start. We need a feeling of excitement and adventure. We need a sense of self-worth. We need a sense of belonging. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want a sense of belonging? You want to feel like you belong to something. Our lives show that we need to be stirred up for the Lord. A sense of being loved. A bad childhood, family life, we don't feel important. These are all things that point to the fact that our lives show a need to be stirred up. And we know that God loves us, but do we realize that God shows that love and always will as long as we look for it? God's love is present, ever present, in everything we do. And we need to understand that as all of us need to be stirred up, Christ fulfills every need that we have. Again, that's not telling you anything you don't know. But Christ fulfills every need that we have. And this should stir us up. He was accused of moving and exciting people on earth. In Luke, the 23rd chapter in verse 5, it says, "But they were the more fierce, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place.'" Who was saying this in Luke, the 23rd chapter? His persecutors, the people that wanted him dead and wanted him gone. They're telling you he's stirring people up. It's exactly what he was sent here to do. Even his persecutors said that, say that right here in Luke, the 23rd chapter. He is still delivering that same message that he delivered that day. And that's something we go over a lot, but he's still delivering that same message. But how? As I said already, I was talking about Rick's lesson this morning. The lives that we live, the things that we do, the conversations that we have, are we stirred up enough for the Lord to talk about him? To preach that gospel, to teach the people that we come in contact with the good news that Jesus Christ came and died, that he has done something for me, let me share that with you. I am stirred up enough that I'm going to share that with everybody. This is the attitude that we are supposed to have. This is the attitude that Jesus had. When it says he stirs up the people, he continually does that through us today. Excitement and adventure can and do go hand in hand with conflict. We seek this in life. You're in the most exciting and adventurous conflict right now. It is life-threatening, cliff-hanging action as you turn every corner, as you open every door. It is your life, and understand that Christ fulfills every need that you have in this life. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Lord, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedient when your obedience is fulfilled." There is a battle for your soul. God fights for you. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul." There is a war for your soul. And we're told here that our lusts are going to be part of that. They're going to war against us. We need to keep that at bay and understand that Christ fulfills every need that we have. We have a lawful way to fulfill every need that we have in this physical life. You need to look with your spiritual eyes. Who's going to win? Is the lust or is the spirit? We need to seriously think about our lives. Again, self-examination. We need to think about the lives that we live. We need to look with spiritual eyes. We need to look with Christ at the forefront of our minds. We need to study his word and write it on our hearts, so that's how we react to situations. And understand that Christ fulfills the needs that you have. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were doing the only thing that can separate us from God, we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ thought you were worth dying for, and he did it. He carried out what God wanted him to do and died on the cross of Calvary for you, for me. Understand that. Understand that Christ fulfills every need that you have. I have a need for something after this physical life is over. Jesus Christ took care of that. Jesus Christ came and died so that I can look forward to an eternity. That I can look forward to an eternity in home, at home with my Creator and with my Lord and Savior. What a wonderful and beautiful thing to captivate your mind reading here in Romans, the 5th chapter. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Be stirred up for that. Realize what Jesus Christ has done for you and be stirred up. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not just light, but his marvelous light. Who once were not a people. You weren't even a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Those that follow God, the children of God, belong to the greatest family. We are a special people. He says we are a chosen generation. A holy nation. This is a rather lengthy reading, but 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 17. Says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit, of his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." Christ loves you. God loves you. God's people love you. We need love in our lives, do we not? Christ fulfills every need that we have. How can you not be stirred up? We ought to love one another. This is part of being stirred up. Love one another. And the keys to being stirred up. Of course, we know that we have a need to be stirred up, but let's figure out how to get stirred up. By remembering. By remembering what? 2 Peter the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, as he's forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Remember, by remembering, that's the key to being stirred up, by remembering what? For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. You can't see in front of you. You're blind and you have forgotten that you've been cleansed from your sins. You've already forgotten that Jesus Christ came and died for you. That you are forgiven of your sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want that entrance. And I struggle sometimes to think about the fact that I was cleansed from my old sins. Be stirred up for God. Be stirred up for Jesus Christ, because he came and died for you. And now you have an entrance to an everlasting kingdom. The state of sin that Christ brought us out of. Remember the state of sin that Christ brought us out of. You are now made alive. Christians are especially, again, a privileged people. Why? Because Jesus Christ. Because we have Jesus Christ. We should be spreading that. We should be stirred up to the point that we are sharing that with everybody we come in contact with. And in verse 9, again, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Have you already forgotten this? We need to realize that we were blind, but now we can see. And we can see because of Jesus Christ. Don't forget these things. By remembering, that's how we're stirred up. And never forget this, that you can always return to that man in verse 9. You can always return to being blind. We need to be diligent. We need to remember to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up. Another key to being stirred up, by recognizing how to be fruitful and taking action. Again, that whole taking action. Get involved. Do something. Get involved in the church. Get involved with brethren. Get involved in a Bible study. Get involved in just talking about God with people that you wouldn't normally do. Going back to that same passage in verses 5 through 7, but also, for this very reason, give all diligence. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. All aspects we find here, we need to add to our lives. We need to recognize how to be fruitful, that we need to be fruitful, and that we need to take action. We need to add these things to our lives. We need to be involved in living these characteristics. Actively living a Christian life, that's being stirred up. That's showing others who Christ is. I didn't proofread this, but keeping in mind this life will end, not the life, this life. And someone cornered me one time when I was talking about something close to this. And I said, Blake, do you think that we're not going to live forever? This physical life is going to end. We will live forever. This physical life is going to end. That's what I'm talking about. Keeping in mind that this life will end, in 2 Peter, the third chapter, in verses 1 through 4, it says, Beloved, I now write to you in the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder. Remember that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Some will deny that Christ is going to come. Well, all these people have died. Nothing's happened yet. Where's your Savior now? Some are going to deny it. We all know that that's not going to happen right now. It may happen in 10 minutes, but we don't know that. We just don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Some will deny it. In verse 9 of the same passage, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to think about this. God is faithful of his promises. And that at the end of this, that not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to repent, everybody to be in Jesus Christ, everybody to be in heaven. That's what God wants. That's what our duty as man is, to fear God and keep his commandments. But we need to be stirred up enough that we are going to help others do this, that we are going to show those who are lost that they're lost. We're going to show them that they can perish. And we're going to show them what repentance is and how to get into Jesus Christ. Be stirred up. Because this life will end. In verse 14, Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. Our life should show that we are stirred up and awaken in that final day, that we are forgiven of our sins, that we have lived the right life, that we have been stirred up for Christ, that we have showed and shared the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and died. The last key I want to talk to you about being stirred up is by waking others up and lifting them up as well. In Philippians, Paul's letter to Philippians, in the second chapter in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I'm talking about this in Dave Stitt's class this morning. He had, and forgive me, 2 Timothy, I think, was the passage, and Dave had a bunch of different things up here, haughtiness and, self-love and all these different kinds of things. And he had a big list up there, and he said, what is the common theme here? It's something I think that is the problem with the world and the problem in my life often. The answer to that question was selfishness. And I've always said that I think if we can get rid of selfishness, we could solve all of the world's troubles. But the problem is we're probably not going to get that done. When we consider others, it leaves less time to think about ourselves and our woes and all of the things plaguing us and all of these different aspects of my life that I'm not happy with. If I look not only for my interests, if I look for others, and look for the interest of others, it leaves less time for me. By waking others and lifting others up, we need to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel that we have in our lives because there's so many. We think about the blessings that we have in this physical life and they're unnumberable. But think about the gospel. Think about the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about the sacrifice that's been given. Think about what's been given to each and every one of us. We need to live that gospel. We need to share that. That needs to stir us up to a point that we can't hold it in. That we share that with everyone. And we need to remind each other of that hope. Every day. Every hour. Every minute. We need to remind one another. Your friends. Your family. Your everybody. Your brethren here. We need to be stirred up and remind each other of that hope. We need to wake ourselves up by the Word of God. And we need to wake others up by the Word of God. Do we think about this often enough? Do we realize that we need to be stirred up, that we need to help stir others up? I talked to you at the very beginning of this lesson. Many say that I need to be motivated. I need to be stirred up. Help them, and they will help you. We need to be stirred up. So I'll end it with this. Are you stirred up? Are you examining your life daily, and are you realizing that there may be something missing? That you're not stirred up enough, that you're not sharing the Word of God, that you're not sharing the gospel, and you're coming across these opportunities to do so? I don't know about you, but I unfortunately that happens all too often. I'm talking to somebody at work, that's all I do all day. I talk to people. And something will come up and I let it roll. And I'm like, man, I should have said something. I should have related that back to something that God has done in my life. I should have related that back to Bible passage. I don't know whether that person is scriptural. I really don't care. This is why I'm here. I'm here to be stirred up and to share that with everyone. This is what we're commanded to do. And why would we not be stirred up when we think about what's been done for us? You think about the sacrifice given for you. I've said this before. This is my favorite analogy of this. There had to be a price paid for you to get into heaven. There was an admittance price that had to be paid. And Jesus Christ came way before you. And He paid that price. And He didn't ask a question. He just did it. How can you not be stirred up when you think about that? And I'll leave you with this. There's a song that I've been listening to this morning quite a bit. And there's many in here that will know it and some that won't. It's called In Christ Alone. And the last stanza of that, last part of the last stanza in that song, it says, "No power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand." No power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand until he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. How can you not be stirred up about what Jesus Christ has done for you? How can you not be stirred up to the point that you share this with other people? And have you lost that? Have you lost being stirred up for God? Have you lost your focus? Or do you not know who Jesus Christ is? Have you never been stirred up for him? Have you never known of him or learned of him or been taught of him? I hope that this lesson stirs you up enough that you want to know. That you want to know who he is. That you want to be stirred up. And if you do, please come down. I'll be standing right down here in front. Please come talk to me. And if we can help you in any way, if you please come forward as Larry stands and sings.
I've heard of a land of joy and peace, a wonderful light, a beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright, where all who believe the Savior dear shall stay. And having been saved by grace divine, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day. I'm clinging to him and never to stray. Yes, singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way. The glorious news I tell and sing as onward I go, that those who are still astray in sin, my Savior may know. I want them to sing his praise above some beautiful day. For glory to him who died for me, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to him and never to stray. Yes, singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way. I know I shall meet him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet him face to face in glory at last. And though I believe that when we meet, well done he will say, for trusting his soul, redeeming love, I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to him and never to stray. Yes, singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way.
Please be seated.